very, very cold, cold days. Amen. But I am thankful to see as many out on this Sunday. Amen. May God continue to bless each and every one of you. I want to thank our musicians. Amen. Our choir. Amen. For singing. I want to thank you all for doing a wonderful job. Amen. Everybody ain't called to do that. Amen. But I thank God for those that are. Amen. We all have our part. Amen. Turn to Jeremiah. Same chapter. Same verse. And when you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Jeremiah, first chapter, fifth verse. Since we didn't go into overtime last Sunday, I figure I'd just start over again. You know, they don't like overtime in church, but they like it when it's on the ball game. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reading from the King James Version. Amen. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. I'm just really just speaking of on God and how God knows us. Amen. What we need to understand is life is not easy. It's a challenge. There are a lot of bumps in the road as we grow up and conduct our lives. As little children, we have to learn to feed ourselves, dress ourselves, take care of our bodily function. School and educations can be difficult, taking years to prepare for our life's work. As human beings, we have to learn to interact with other people as well. Amen. Learn to communicate with others. The whole dating scene, dealing with members of the opposite sex, can be a challenge. Then there's marriage and family life, with all of the pitfalls and the difficulties associated with that. We have to go to work day in and day out. We have to manage our finances and control our spending and use our money wisely. When we consider all of those things that life throws at us, it's a challenge. But God knows everything that you're going through. Amen. God shared with Jeremiah how intimately he knows him. Jeremiah was a prophet in Israel. What is a prophet? A prophet was one who would foretell future events. He was one who would receive a specific message from God to speak to the people. And he was able to do this by the power of God. Not in his own power, but by the power that was invested in him by God. A person never just decides one day they get up in the morning that they're going to be a prophet. Amen. It don't work that way. Amen. I know there are some false prophets out here, but I'm just saying that it doesn't work that way. You have to be called by God. Amen. If God didn't call you, you are called by yourself. Amen. So it is in Jeremiah's calling that God has called him to deliver a message. And Jeremiah discovered something amazing about God. He discovered that God knew who he was. Amen? I mean, that's a powerful God, boy. Know who you was. I had people to say they knew me before I knew myself. Amen. That's the old folks talking there, you know. You talk to some of the old folks, they'll say, I knew you before you knew yourself. I didn't quite understand that when I was young, but as I got older, I said, oh, I see where you're coming from now. Amen. As you keep growing up, you keep learning. Amen. The Bible teaches that God knew us before we were even born. He didn't just know Jeremiah, but he knew each and every one of us before we ever took our first breath on our own. Amen. You may be wondering, why is it such a big deal that God knows us? The big deal is, if God knows us, that means that he knows everything that you're going through. Amen. That's the big deal. The big deal is that whatever you're doing or whatever you're going through, God knows all about it. So if God knows us, that means that we are not alone. That means that you haven't been forgotten. God knows the very trial that you are dealing with. God knows the struggles that you are facing right now in life. God knows the temptation that you are coming up against. God knows your family situation, and he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. God knows all about your financial dilemmas. He is concerned about you, and he knows you. He hasn't forgotten all about you. You need to understand that this morning. He knows even your street address, where you live. Amen. That's the God we serve. He knows how much little money you do have in your bank account. He knows that as well. He knows that there's a bill that's coming that your bank account ain't going to agree with. So he knows all about you. He even knows your court date that is coming up. That's the God that we serve. He knows what we are going through. He knows us so well that he knows what is best for us, even better than we know ourselves. God sees the life that you are, that you have come out of. But he also sees the life that you are walking into. That's the God that we serve today. Amen. God knows you're coming out, because there's an expiration date on what you're going through. Knowing that God knows us should give us some confidence this morning. God told Jeremiah this at the beginning of his calling to be a prophet in order to give him confidence. He was commissioned by God to spread a message of judgment to the people of Israel. Now, this isn't exactly what you would call a fun message to preach. Amen. Sometimes I know we want to hear those good messages as how we can prosper. Amen. But sometimes you got to put it out there like it is. Amen. So this isn't exactly what you would call a fun message, what Jeremiah was preaching, but it was, though, God was telling Jeremiah, I know you have got a tough message to preach, but let me tell you something. I know you, and I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be right by your side every step of the way. That's what God is saying to Jeremiah. God is giving us the same message that he's given Jeremiah as well, to preach the gospel, to preach the news of the Lord. He wants you to know before you leave this place that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's by your side. The first thing to know with our relationship with God is that we need to know that God is with us. He knew us before we were even born. He knew us. He even said, I set you apart. I mean, God set Jeremiah apart. That means God had a specific purpose in mind for Jeremiah before he was ever born. In Jeremiah's case, he was set apart for a specific purpose of being a prophet. Jeremiah was born with a certain task he was created to perform. So each person in this room was created for a specific reason. Each person in this room was created on purpose for a purpose. So this indicates to me that there is no one on the face of this planet who is a mistake. No one accidentally came into this world. Some parents may have not expected you. Amen? But no one was an accident, because God had you in mind before you were born. Amen. So I know the parents say, well, we didn't expect to have another one. But God knew all about that. Unexpected delivery. So God wants to be a part of your life. It is not God that harms you. He wants to prosper you. It is not God who gives us a picture of a dim future. He wants to give you a picture of a wonderful future. Future filled with hope and promises. God knows you, and he has set you apart for his purpose. So many times we don't realize that God has a plan for our lives, and so we try to fill up our lives with our own plans, which ends up empty. Right. Amen. It ends up being an empty life for us. Some of us are filling up our lives with things that we think are making us full and satisfied. We are filling our lives up with work and material things. We are filling our lives up with things that physically make us feel good. And it may make us feel good and feel good at the moment, but as times go on, we are going to discover that those things don't actually make us feel good and don't fill us up. They don't actually give us a well-balanced and full life. They, in fact, leave you empty. Jesus said he came to fill us up, came that we may have life and life more abundantly. The word abundant is basically saying overflow. There is no way a person can have an abundant life if they feel as though there is no real purpose or meaning in their life. They will never feel stuffed until they know their purpose. Amen? So you would never feel stuffed until you know your purpose. Everybody in here was designed for a specific purpose in life. And some of you may say, well, what is that, Pastor? Get in the Word of God and you will find out what that is. Because I can tell you this much, that what aggravates you the most may be a calling for you to do something about it. Amen. If something gets on your nerves so much that you feel a drive to do it, let me tell you, it's a calling on your life to get up out your seat and do what God has said do. God told Jeremiah he has set him apart. The phrase "set you apart" means to separate yourself. I had to do that on a job. I didn't want to be a product of association, so I had to separate myself from some people on a job who was doing some lackadaisical work, but I didn't want to be associated with that foolishness. So I had to separate myself on a job so I won't be associated in that number. So we got to have some willpower inside of us to know to separate ourselves from other folks. Amen. Don't worry about folks talking about you. Trust me, they're going to talk about you if you're with them. Amen. So don't worry about that. They're going to talk about you anyway. You just as well just separate yourself and give them a good reason to talk about you. God separated Jeremiah for a specific reason and task. His calling was Jeremiah's life. To perform a specific task. God has specific directions for you and I. All right. The Bible makes it very clear that we were created for God to do with as he chooses. All right. Amen. Jeremiah and Sabrina, those are my children. Amen. Those Sonya and our children. We do with them as we pleases. Y'all can't come in my house and tell me what to do with my children. Amen. Let me raise them. Amen. That's how God feels. These are my children. These are my people. I'm calling you to do a task. Think about that for a moment. Does a ceramic bowl get that way because he chooses to be a bowl? Think about it. Absolutely not. It's because a bowl, it becomes a bowl because that is what the potter wanted it to be. Amen? That's what the potter decided it wanted this to be. Now you might say, what if I don't want to become what God wants me to become? You have that choice. He will never make you do something that you don't want to do. You don't have to conform. I think this, though, this is the reason why so many people are miserable in life, because so many people feel a void in their lives. It's because they are not doing what the Creator has created them to do. So therefore, they are so miserable. And then when they come into your life, into your good day, now they want to make you miserable because they're not listening to God. This is why you have to be careful who you allow to come into your life. Because they come with some disrespectful spirits, disobedient spirits that's coming with them, and you are entertaining it. Then you wonder why you're doing what you're doing. Let me tell you something. You got to understand, this is why you see a lot of people, they're miserable, right? Because they're not doing what God has created them to do. The end results of that is always frustration. Frustration. It's all you get, frustration. You see people just mad all the time. Just mad. You wake up mad. Go to bed mad. Every time you see them, they mad. It can't be happy about nothing. Can't, don't have nothing. I mean, there's nothing good. There's some folks around it like that. God said, before you were born, God appointed you to a certain task. Now, the question is, are you willing to fulfill the call that God has on your life? I am not God. I am not Jesus. I am not the Holy Spirit. I'm only a messenger of God. And I'm only telling you that you need to seek God and find out what is your purpose. I can tell you this. It ain't serving the devil. I can give you a start. Amen. You know, they give you a start. I'm going to give you a start. It ain't for you serving the devil. I mean, it's for you worshiping God. Amen. God wants us to be like that Energizer bunny, to just keep going and going and going and going for him. When they make batteries, they store power or energy within the cell or the inner core of the battery. But it is not good enough for the power to be in the battery. Listen to this. The power needs to flow through the battery if it's to be good, to be of any good to do something. That's why batteries have a positive and a negative end, which must be aligned properly in order for the power to flow through the battery and thus make the instrument that is supposed to project it do its work. So what am I trying to say this morning? All I'm trying to say that if you get yourself in line with God, there is a positive and there is a negative. But if you are in line with God, there is power that is compacted in his word that will come forth to do what the instrument is designed to do. So pitch picture that battery being the Holy Spirit on the inside of the object. All it needs is to be lined up properly. When it's lined up properly, all you got to do is flip the switch and it will work. God knows your hidden strength. God knows all about that. He knows all about that. You need to understand, you and I have been filled with the power of God through the Holy Spirit. But God does not want to do a work in you. God does not just want to do a work in you. God wants to flip that switch on the inside of you. Y'all understand what I'm saying this morning? I'm trying to get you to understand that God loves you and he's trying to align you with what he has for you. You need to understand this. We all are going to have some type of struggles in life. Let me tell you something. You don't think that the devil is just going to let you walk into a blessing. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. Okay, it's not going to happen. It's not. I know that's what you were thinking, but no. No, it's not going to happen. Okay? All right, let's move on now. That's not. Y'all need to stop. That's not going to happen. You're not going to just you're not going to walk onto a college campus and just go to the administrator and say, I want my degree now. Hey, no. That's not going to happen. No, you're not going to just walk on a job and say, can I get my check? And you ain't even employed there. That's not going to happen. What am I saying? You're going to have, there's going to be some struggles. There's going to be some days that you don't feel like getting up and going to work. There's going to be some days that you don't feel like going to school. There's going to be some bad days, but you got to press. You got to press. Yeah, I'm a pastor. I'm the pastor of Rhema Worship Center. Yeah, I get tired and weary. I be wanting to sleep in the bed, but I know I got to get up because there's work to be done. Man, I would love to sleep in. I would love to not have the responsibility, but it's too late for that. God knows our hidden strength and ability. This is why God was able to choose many people to do incredible things for him that we wouldn't ordinarily pick those people. Y'all know that? God picked people that nobody would have chose. That's the kind I'm telling you. That's the kind of God we serve. He'll pick somebody. You thinking that this person is going to get it? God's like, nope. That ain't who. That's why Samuel had a hard time. Amen? He had a hard time. Because we think differently from God. While y'all sitting there looking over this individual, God is saying, this person I'm going to choose right here. Not only that, it works in another way too. When it's time for our number to be called, God knows what you can handle. He knows what you can handle. He knows it. He knows our human frailty. He knows our weaknesses. He knows us by name. Jesus knew everything about everyone he met. He knows. It's that moment in life of Nathanael when Jesus described him as a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. Nathanael is astonished and asks, how do you know me? It's that moment in life that a rich young ruler who asks Jesus what he needs to do for eternal life, Jesus tells him what he needs to do. Sell everything and follow me. Jesus knows all about you now. You can't hide nothing from him. It's at that moment in life where the Samaritan woman at the well, when Jesus reveals to her astonishment that he knows that she has all them husbands. Amen. Jesus knew all about that because, see, when you come to the Lord, he can see past you. And he sees what you have done. He sees what you're going through. Because see, watch this. It's at that moment in life of Matthew, the tax collector, when Jesus sees him and tells him to follow me, we read he got up and followed the Lord. It's at that moment in the life of Nicodemus, whom comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus tells him that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he be born again. It's that moment in the life of Judas sitting with Jesus at the upper room. Jesus already knew what Judas was getting ready to do. So what am I saying? Well, it's at that moment in life that God looked at me and God knew what I was capable and God knew what I had already done. But God looked past all of that and said, come and follow me. He knows every secret, every thought, every word you have spoken and everything you have done. He knows all of it. Why? Because he's the record keeper. He keeps good records. Y'all know how some of y'all, you miss some things and you miss some notes. God don't miss a beat. If you ever wondered if God sees what you are going through or whether he hears the cries of your prayers in a time of distress, you need to read about Moses. He comes to Moses in the wilderness at the burning bush and he sees Moses. He said, I've heard the misery of my people. I've heard them crying out. I know how much they are suffering. I have come to rescue them. That's why he had called out to Moses. God has seen and heard the misery of his people. And God was tired of it. Not that God gets tired, but God has seen enough of it. So here it is. God is moving into action. This is the God who knows us, the God who calls us by name. You may be asking a question that almost every person asks at some point in time. Does God know what I'm going through? Does God see what I'm facing? Does God really care for me? The Bible tells us to be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. For the devil's goal is to rob us and of today's grace by worrying about tomorrow's problems. Jesus told Martha, you're worried about many things, but only one thing is necessary, and that's spending more time with the Master. Many of us have gotten into trouble by trying to find answers to our problems and not taking it to the Lord in prayer. The Apostle Paul tells us that in the last days, many will not endure sound doctrine or teach because they want to have their ears tickled. They will seek out preachers and teachers that will tell them what they want to hear. Now, so much for here, they're not going to come here because I'm not going to do that. But their attitude is, don't tell me I'm a sinner. They don't want that. Just tell me how can I be blessed. People don't want you to tell them how to live holy. Just tell them how they can get a breakthrough. People don't want you to tell them how to love others the way God has loved them. Just tell them how they can accumulate more than what they already have without seeking God. That's the type of message that people want to hear. People don't want to hear the fire and brimstone and that there is a hell. Folks don't want to hear about that. You liable to have a rock thrown at you or something. People don't want to hear that no more. People want to hear how they can prosper. People want to hear how they can get better. People want to hear everything they want to hear and still live the type of life that they're living without God. That's the way that they are. The children of Israel were in captivity because they listened to false prophets instead of the true and living God. So what did God do? King Nebuchadnezzar, enemy to the children of God, became an instrument in the hands of God in order to discipline the Lord's people. Mm. The same thing is happening today. God is using the enemy to humble this country so that we will turn our faces back towards God. Let me tell you something. If anything gets you running towards God, it's got to be good. Now, you may say, well, that's not good, but it got you running to God. While in Babylon, the children of Israel started to look for a word from God. So they went to false prophets, but God sent a word by the true prophet, Jeremiah. So what am I saying? God is saying he hears our cries. And he hears what we're going through. So, in other words, God is saying there is a time limit on how long you're going to suffer. You're not coming out until God says you're coming out. You have to reap the harvest of the sins that you've sown. Some of us don't realize. I'm going to tell you this. I watch people's faces when this is said. But when you say we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, you have people sitting there. I ain't did nothing. You have people that have this demeanor and this attitude about themselves that they don't know what they're talking about. I ain't did nothing. Let me tell you something. Yes, you have. You need to understand you've done something, and the fact that you're not reading to understand what you've done makes it even worse because you continue in your sinful ways. So it doesn't make it better. It just makes it worse. So what happens is then you continue to go through what you're going through, and it seems like it's not you're not getting out because you have not repented yet. Now, no matter what you do, you cannot escape the judgment of God. God speaks in the midst of our captivity. I'm glad that God doesn't turn his back on us. I'm thankful that he don't turn his back on us. God said, I know the plans and the reason and that he knows the plans for us. It's to give us a future and a hope. We need to understand this. We're like Israel in a strange place that has become our dwelling place. God has to remind us that he knows what's in front of us. In fact, God even goes before us. So when we get to the problem, he's already there. Y'all need to understand God goes before us. Understand that peace only has to be made with those who are our enemies. The children of Israel weren't God's enemies, but they behaved like God's enemies. But in his wrath, God remembered mercy. Man, thank God for that, huh? God's use of the word peace to show us his desire to be reconciled with a disappointed, disobedient people. God said, come, let us reason together. Even though your sins be like scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Paul said that Jesus is our peace. So God is literally saying, I'm going to give you more of myself, and I will be your peace. I will cause you to prosper. A plan that does not include calamity. The Lord said that the plans he has for us does not include disasters, misfortune. Amen. God said, that's not the plans that I have for you. Understand that the people of Israel during this time had gone through a lot. God had allowed the enemy to make them slaves. God knew that the people had a distorted perception of who he was. Sometimes trouble can make you see God in the wrong way. I'm just going to put it out there. It you know, when we get in trouble, we start looking at God. Some of us even curse God. But let me tell you something. You saying things to God is not going to change him. He is who he is. We have to face up to the fact that there's things that we need to do and there's things that God is trying to get us to. Amen. We have to understand that there's tests that are going to be involved in our life. But know that we can come out of it. Why? Because God has already said he's with us and he'll never leave us. I know sometimes you feel alone, but trust me, you're not alone. As long as you are serving God. And as long as you're obedient to God, trust me, God would not put no more on you than you can bear. We need to understand that. So, some of us are still not trusting the Lord because of what has happened to us in the past. That's sad. Not trusting God because of something that happened to you in the past. We need to understand that there is some growing up that needs to be done with us. God does not deal with his people based solely on their past or present condition, but he consoles them and tells them that he's working on their future. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. God says, I'm going to cause you to hope again. I'm going to cause you to believe again, and I'm going to bring you to an expected end. It's not over just because it looks like it's over. But there is still time for me to connect you with what I have for you. But in the meantime, hope. Amen? We need to hope. What? In God. So the Lord said, be encouraged in spite of your present situation, for I know the outcome, and don't let anyone tell you differently. That is the key. We should not let anyone tell us differently. But the problem with us is that we run our mouths too much. Man, we run our mouths too much. Every time I think about the scripture where Jesus was trying to tell the disciples something, they were talking, and Jesus was talking. They said, Lord, who is it? Who is it? He said, he that dippeth in the cup with me is the one. They still trying to figure out who is it. He's telling them, but you're talking. Why you need to be listening? That, I'm telling you, that is a hard thing for people to do, is shut their mouths. Sometimes I look for the battery, but there is no battery hooked up to us. I be wondering, where's the battery? The on and off. I mean, look, sometimes you look for an on and off switch. it's just not on them. I'm like, you want to be like, can you like zip it? Go. What's a good word to say? I mean, what's a good thing? What's the most polite thing to say? I mean, you can't say, that's rude to say, shut up. But man, people don't listen. They have a response before you can even say something. And you'd be like, that's not the direction that I was going to even go in. And then you just sit there sometimes and go, like they do on cartoons, and you sit there and just blink. Because that's about all you can do. Not only does the Lord give us a plan, but he also gives us the time. He says, when you pray and come to me, I will listen. See, God listened to you. See, the problem with the problem with us is that we won't listen. A lot of times we be praying and God is wanting to talk to us, communicate with us, and then next you know, we walk away and God's like, I was all right. Had a word from, but they were gone. I'm gonna tell you, there's times I fell asleep praying to God. And I woke up and said, oh, I had to apologize. I was praying to God. I was so tired. And I was praying to God, and I was praying. And next thing you know, it felt comfortable, so I just went on out, man. I went in. I'm gonna tell you. And then I was there for a minute, and I was there. I said, no, I didn't. I had to apologize and say I'm sorry. And I'll be honest with you, I had to hurry up and get through because I knew it was going to happen again. But we need to understand, the Lord is trying to speak to us. The Lord is trying to give us information. The Lord is trying to bring us out. The Lord is trying to deliver us. The Lord is trying to bless us. But we need to be in alignment with God's assignment. Man, if my people who are called by my name, if we can get in alignment with our assignment, If we listen to what I said, it's worth repeating again. We need to separate ourselves from people that are not like us. Because all it's going to do is drag you down. It's going to wear on you. And if you're not strong enough, trust me, you're going to fall into it. Jesus faced challenges of life just like us. Since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus too shared in their humanity. He says Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every way. This is what we need to understand. Jesus came, God came in human form. God became a human being and faced the human conditions. In the person of Jesus Nazareth, God knows how we feel. Jesus was in Mary's womb for 9 months. Jesus had to learn to feed himself. He had to learn to talk. He had to learn to do basic math skills, all of that. Jesus had to interact with other people. He had to obey his parents and teachers. He had to submit to the laws of the land and the custom of society of his day. Jesus had to make a living and take care of people around him and face all the things of life. So this way the devil can't say foul play. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So he had to endure everything that we endure. He had to deal with everything that we had to deal with. Trust me, you don't think Jesus was hungry? Being in the human flesh, I mean, sometimes if you're quiet enough, you can hear people's stomach in the church. I'm just saying. Not that anybody is listening, but when you start seeing people going like this, that's a good sign that maybe a little hungry. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants anyone to hear that. But you trying to tell me that Jesus' stomach wasn't growling? He wasn't hungry when Satan told him, hey, man, take these stones and turn them into bread and feed yourself, man. Come on now. Y'all, I'm telling you, I lived in Fairview Heights for years and living by Krispy Kremes and Fazoli's and all of these places, and I was sitting there going, Lord Jesus, this fasting may not work. Because I'm smelling the aroma in the air that's coming, and I got my window shut, door shut, and somehow it is coming into the house. I'm smelling Krispy Kremes in my house, and I don't even have Krispy Kremes. What I'm trying to tell you that Jesus endured everything. So what I'm saying, God knows how we feel and he knows what we are going through. When we struggle with our homework at school, don't you know Jesus had to do some learning as well? He was a human form, so he had to take on human characteristics. So Jesus dealt with some of the same things. Now, we may not have thought about any of those things, but Jesus had to endure just like we had to endure. Jesus really ministry only started like, was only for like 3 years. So 30 years of that time, Jesus was doing something. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So y'all need to understand what I mean. I'm just telling you, he had to understand a lot that was going, not because he's in the human form. He's God, but he's also human. So don't look at Jesus lightly as saying that he don't understand. Some people think that they're the only ones that is going through this. Nobody's been through what they've been through. Nobody has that problem. Nobody is, no. You don't know what I'm going through. You ain't never dealt this like this before. You ain't never been through anything like this. Well, try me. You need to understand, we're humans. You'd be surprised. This is why God said, forsake not to assemble yourself among the household of faith. It's because as we come together, we can help one another and know that I've been through that as well. And I'm going to tell you how God delivered me on this particular day. Amen? Amen. There should be some celebrations on the days that when they come back around, because you can remember, oh, this is the day that I came out.
And man, I have a cousin. He was born on Halloween, but he doesn't celebrate that day. He celebrates the day that he was born again. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So he's got a new birthday. He don't celebrate the Halloween, the day that they set aside for Halloween. He said, no. I'm celebrating when I was born again. Y'all understand what I'm saying? So you can celebrate the days that God has brought you out. Get your own self a cake. Throw your own self a party. And remember and praise God on your own. You don't need to come to the church to do it. All you got to do is do it on your own and say, oh, my day is coming up. I remember when God brought me out. Just start shouting. They say, well, what you getting all this stuff for? What you buying out of it? Well, I'm getting ready to praise God in my own way, in my own time, because of what he has done for me. We should be celebrating our deliverance, our blessings. Don't forget about that. Have a memorial. Have a memorial at a spot where you got saved, and go back there to the spot. Go back to the spot where God spoke to you. We need to remember these things. We take a lot of things for granted. Sometimes we don't appreciate the little things because we got our eyes set on the big things. So our eyes are set so much on the big things that we can't really enjoy the little things. Enjoy what God is putting before you, because let me tell you something. When you do good with this, much is to come. Amen? Amen. Y'all know that scripture on that. Y'all need to know that God is in the blessing business. God doesn't want to see his people suffer continuously. No, it's not the God we serve. Satan comes to rob, steal, and destroy. God come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He said he would do exceedingly above all that you can ask. That's the God we serve. And God is real. He said, I knew you when you was in your mother's womb. He said, I knew you. God didn't do what we do now is look at the ultrasound. God already knew that before you were even formed. I mean, when my children were in my wife's womb, we looked at them on the ultrasound. And we were excited about a life. And I thought about God. God is excited about you coming into this world. And it's even more exciting when you find your purpose at an early age and you do what God is calling you to do. That is a blessing when you are in alignment with your assignment. Amen.